Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we worship this day, our King, our Lord. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson today from Mark 3. Join me in prayer. Gracious Lord Jesus, pour out the Spirit always on the church. Give us ears that would hear and hearts that would believe your word and take it to heart, producing us the great fruits of the Spirit. And bless now our preaching and hearing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many things that Jesus, our King, would allow us to do to him. He's the Son of God who became man, and he would allow us piddly little human beings whom he made to do a lot of things to him because he's loving and gracious. He accepts our thanks, our praise, our worship today, our prayers. We can eat his body, drink his blood soon, which is amazing grace. He would do this for us. On the negative side, he allows unbelievers to mock him, spit on him, crucify him, reject him. He's a gentleman who knocks on the door and by the Spirit would open the door to the heart, but he will not force his way in. He allows us to do what we want with him right now. But there's one thing we can never do with Jesus. One thing he will never allow. No one can control him. No one can stop him. No one can master him. He will never allow that, for he is master, he's king, he's Lord. And that is an overarching lesson of the gospel lesson today, Mark 3. His family wants to seize him. Mary, his dad, brothers and sisters, they want to literally, in the Greek, take charge of him. That means they want to physically take control of him. They want to drag him into the house, I guess, and hide him somewhere in a closet. I don't know. They want to physically take charge of him, and they cannot do it. At the end of the text, he has a massive crowd in the house and says, here's my family. You don't want to be my family? Mom and dad and brothers? Here's my family. Whoever hears the will of God, whoever hears the word of God, does my will, is my family. I'll do what I'm going to do. You're not going to control me. And the scribes accuse him of being possessed by a demon. That's not going to stop him. You think insults and ridicule and heresy about me is going to stop me? No way. He moves on in his ministry. No one can control Jesus. And there are three things in particular we cannot stop him from doing or control him in any way or change him. He's always going to confront sin and hate it. He's always going to comfort sinners and save sinners. We're not going to stop him from doing that. And he's always going to come in very humble, lowly ways until he comes again in glory. This is who he is and what he's about. We're not going to change it. First of all, Jesus will always confront sin and hate sin. And we're never going to change him or mold him to be like us, to compromise sin, to condone sin, to ignore sin, to deny sin, to belittle sin, to treat it lightly, look the other way. He's always going to confront and hate sin. He always has, always he does now, and he always will. It's how he is. One reason why I think that the scribes are so gone so far out now, they're actually saying he's possessed by the devil, and one reason why his family is trying to take charge of him is because he is really, really in the face of the religious leaders at this time. This humble carpenter son, yet he's right in the face of the religious leaders in particular, and he's confronting them with their hypocrisy. No one else dared did that. But Jesus is right there in their face, confronting their hypocrisy, their legalism, their self-righteousness. And he does it out of love. He doesn't hate them. He wants them to repent and turn to him and be humble, and he would save them too. But this is why his family, one reason why they want to control him. He can't talk so mean and so harsh to the religious leaders. What's he doing? Jesus would call them whitewashed tombs. That's not real nice. He would say they are children of the devil. That's not real nice, but it's the truth. And the truth sometimes hurts. And it must hurt that we would confess and believe in him and turn to him. He harks the words of John the Baptist, you're voodoo vipers, you're children of the serpent, the devil. That's who you are. This is harsh. This is tough. But it's true. And he won't stop just because they're trying to control him. He'll say even more later, won't he? And so here in America, We may say that gossip is merely talking about someone just having a talk. Jesus says it's gossip. Confess it. It's sin. We may say that our utter greed and materialism and our love of pleasure, it's just having some fun. I just want a few more things to pad my nice big house and four cars. Jesus says it's greed. Confess it. And we in America may say premarital sex is okay. All the kids are doing it. Just have some protection, kids. Jesus says it's wrong. Confess it. And we may say in America, oh, it's okay to be homosexual. It's a gay marriage. Let's have it all in every state. Look at the polls. All Americans feel this way. Come on, you silly Christians. Jesus, the Son of God who gave us marriage, says it's wrong. It's sinful. Confess it. And there's forgiveness. But confess it. We may say that abortion is a woman's right. He says it's the right to kill. Confess it. And these things hurt. And we might get angry. But he's right. And we're wrong. For he's always right. We may say idolatry, the worship of other gods, is okay. Coexist. Everything's all right. Believe what you want. He says he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Get rid of your idols. The truth hurts. We either humble and confess and say, you're right, Jesus, or we get mad and leave. You know, I read in the paper where America, or rather Knoxville, is rated number 5 in America. Did you read that? Number 5 in allergies. We're up there. Maybe some of you are suffering today from allergies. I think Louisville, Kentucky is number 1. Memphis was up there in cities that have the highest, the biggest problem with allergies, put it that way. Well, Knoxville's number 1 when it comes to sin. And Louisville's number 1 when it comes to sin. And so is Memphis. And so is my beloved Indianapolis, where I was born and raised. Number 1 in sin. So is Chicago, Mark. Okay? Blackhawk fan. We're all number 1 when it comes to sin. There's no ranking with sin. I'm number 5, you're number 1, I'm number 27. We're all in a first place tie. We're called sinners. Little, big, mediocre sins, he hates it all. We're all in a first place tie. We get on our knees and repent, is what we do as Christians. You're not going to control him. You're not going to change him. He's not going to suddenly say things are okay because we Americans think they're okay. Or anybody else. Secondly, we will never stop him from comforting sinners. For those that repent, he will ever have forgiveness. And he has forgiveness for those that don't repent if they would repent. We're never going to stop him from forgiving 70 times, 7 times, and then another 70 times, 7 times, and another 70 times, 7 times. We're never going to stop him from saving sinners and granting peace and forgiveness and taking even wretched sinners like you and I to heaven with him. We're never going to stop his mercy or stop his love. We can't control it. Another reason why his family wants to take charge of him and the scribes are so upset is that he's the friend of sinners. He's hanging around the worst people of society. He's hanging around fishermen and tax collectors, Matthew and others, hanging around prostitutes, the outcasts. He even eats with them, which makes him unclean. They walk with him daily, which makes him unclean. He touches the sick. He touches lepers. He touches the dead. He's around all these sick, diseased, dying, sinful, evil people. Get rid of Jesus. Control him. His family must be thinking, you're getting a bad reputation, Jesus. People are calling you the friend of sinners. You don't want that reputation. You got to be holy and perfect and pure and stay away from such bad people. Well, that's just the point. That's his whole reputation, to be the friend of sinners and to save sinners. They think he's out of his mind. We would say he's crazy. He's out of his mind. He will do something even more out of his mind than this. He will not only walk with sinners and eat with sinners, something really out of his mind he will do. He will die for sinners. The cross. Talk about being out of his mind. What about the cross where God Almighty hangs on a cross 6 hours, nails, blood, guts, cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's out of his mind. Yes, he is out of his mind in love with people, in love with you and I, that he would die on a cross, shed his blood for all people, friend, enemy, and everything in between, and rise again on Easter. He's out of his mind to forgive sins. We say, forgive me, Jesus, because I'm kind of worthy of it. But that bum over there, don't forgive him. He's not worthy. Well, you're not worthy either. And neither am I. And how dare we ever think that somehow we're more worthy of it than the other guy? He is ever forgiving and gracious. We're not going to stop that about him. And nor do we want to, I hope. You know, American Pharoah, a triple crown winner, hasn't been a triple crown winner for 37 years. That's horses. Who here themselves is a triple crown winner as a human being? You a triple crown winner? You're not? So you're a loser, huh? We're all losers. I suggest we are quadruple crown winners. For in Christ has conquered sin for everybody. I've conquered that in him. Christ has conquered death. There's my second crown. I'm going to live forever. Though I'm sick and I have hardship, my tents waste away, I'm going to live forever. I've conquered that already. Christ has conquered Satan, the great serpent. I've conquered him in Christ. And Christ has conquered that world out there. I'm a quadruple crown winner in Christ. I'm baptized. Never let anyone say to you, you're a loser, you're pathetic, you're nothing. They're wrong. Though we be sick, though we be pathetic, though we sin, though we think we're losers, in Christ I'm a victor. I've conquered all in him. I'm saved and redeemed, a child of God. And go tell the whole world. We'll never stop him from being forgiving. You see the little cartoon from Dennis the Menace this week? Dennis the Menace says to his mom, I had an awesome dream last night. She says, well, what was your dream? He says, I was in an enchanted forest. And there was a fire-breathing dragon. And the fire-breathing dragon grabbed Margaret, I guess his little girlfriend. And his mom interrupted, oh, so you saved Margaret from the fire-breathing dragon. He said, nope. That's why it was an awesome dream. Dennis the Menace. We don't want to save people either. I don't always want to have mercy either. Too tired, got my own thing. Let somebody else show mercy to you, buddy. Praise be to God. He saves us from the fire-breathing dragon. The whole world. And last of all, we will never stop Jesus from coming in humble, simple ways until he comes in glory. That's just how he comes. Another reason why they want to take charge of him and they accuse him of things is that he's so simple. The scribes stumble over this. He's from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's a carpenter's son. How can he be the Messiah? How can he be the King of Kings? But he's a carpenter's son. He's from Nazareth. He walks around. He's so simple. He's so humble. He can't be the Christ. They stumble over his humility, his simplicity as a man. And people do today too. For he still comes in very simple ways. I wish that he would just appear now. You wouldn't have to look at me. Just come like the Mount of Transfiguration. You just show yourself in glory. The church will be packed on a Sunday. Or at least the burning bush we would take, wouldn't we? Rather than the big bush or the burning bush. How about that? Come on, we'd be here. But he comes in simple ways. The preaching of a minister, the reading of the Word of God. He comes in a little bit of water here. He's going to come in bread and wine. Very simple, unspectacular things he chooses to come in. Just come in some glorious way and get it over with. He will sometime in that way, and it's the end of the world. But now he comes in simple ways. He always will. Word and sacrament, we call it. Why? To teach us humility. To teach us humility. To mock the proud and the foolish out there that want him to come in some spectacular way. He comes in humility. To teach us faith, trust. Trust me, I'm here. Doesn't look like it, but I'm here. And to teach us love. To love him. To love him even when he's little. Even when he looks weak. To love him and want him. You know, we have a few weddings coming up here. We have a wedding this Saturday, Shelby Bender and Brian Holton. Then we have one in September, a couple in December. And when I go through counseling with the bride and groom, I often ask them, you know, have you ever seen your partner at their worst? When they're having a bad day, have you seen that in them yet? I'll ask the young lady, have you seen your fiancé at his worst? I know he's handsome to you. He has cologne on. He actually has some breath mints in his mouth when he kisses you. He's all dressed up for the day. Oh, he's wonderful. He's Prince Charming. But have you seen him when he stinks? When he's sweaty? When he's bloody? When his breath reeks? When his hair's messed up? And he wants to come over and give you a hug? Do you love him then?
Ugh.
Isn't that love, though? I'll love you even when you're at your worst. And so God loves us when we are at our worst. And maybe he's saying to us, will you love me when I'm little and don't look so good? When I hang on a cross, you still love me? When I come in bread and wine, you still want me? Do I have to come in a spectacular way for you, show off to you? Do you love me when I'm in water? When I'm just spoken to you, do you still love me? Or do you need something showy? Is that why you just love me for a miracle? You just love me for a show, huh? It's a test. Do we really want him? Do we really believe? You're not going to control Jesus, and neither will I. He'll always confront sin, always comfort sinners, and always come in humble, lowly ways until he comes in glory. We don't want to control him, but may he ever control us. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.